A new report by the CDC finds that where you sit on a long flight could significantly increase your risk of contracting COVID-19. For instance, on one 10-hour flight back in March, a passenger in business class likely infected about a dozen other people. This was before airlines had enforced mask requirements, but now that they do, how great is the risk of getting an infection during a long flight? We posed that question to Derek Thompson, a staff writer at The Atlantic, and he joins us from Washington as he does each Monday. Derek, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So this finding is kind of what we all expected and kind of worried about. What's the likelihood of spread on flights, especially long flights, if passengers are wearing masks?
So I think it's important to be very clear about what this paper concluded about a long-haul flight back in March versus what we know about flying today. So this paper found that a sick woman got about a dozen other passengers sick in business class when in all likelihood none of them were wearing masks. And to be honest, knowledge of this disease back in March was relatively minimal. But today, mask wearing is universal on flights, and it's enforced on planes. I just flew to Maine last week and observed this myself. The uptake on masks was 100% and very easy. And people who have symptoms of respiratory infections are much less likely to travel because they know, unlike in early March, that we're clearly in the middle of a global pandemic. So for those reasons, there have not been many infections traced to airplanes in the last few months, nor have there been infections traced to similar transportation settings like Tokyo subways. So what this study should tell us overall is not that traveling in airplanes is dangerous, period, but rather that traveling in airplanes was dangerous in February and March before we had contemporary guidelines, including the universal use of masks.
Okay, but I want to ask you a little bit more about indoor environments without good ventilation systems. So over the weekend, the CDC on its website posted new guidelines agreeing with scientists who have long been saying that COVID-19 spreads through tiny droplets that remain in the air. Now the CDC says that guideline was actually an error on its site. That's according to the Washington Post. But this idea that indoor environments without good ventilation increases the risk actually seems intuitive, and airplanes are enclosed places, right?
Yep, that's a really good point. Intuitively, it seems like airplanes are one of the worst places you could possibly be, but there's two reasons why they might be much safer than something like, say, an indoor restaurant or a bar. Number one is that airplanes are much better ventilated than, say, you know, a downstairs bar in a 100-year-old building. Airplanes actually have extraordinary ventilation compared to almost every other indoor setting of the same variety. The second thing is that when people are on planes, typically they aren't talking very loudly. And one of the most important ways that we produce these small droplets, these aerosolized droplets, is by talking. When you and I speak, we are spewing little tiny, practically invisible droplets into the air that are floating around for maybe several seconds or even several minutes. And those droplets, when inhaled by somebody else, if they are infected by the virus, if the virus is in those droplets, can get those people sick. So if you combine the fact that people are wearing masks with the fact that they tend not to be screaming and shouting on an airplane to each other, with the fact that these airplanes tend to be pretty well ventilated, you have a space that just isn't quite as dangerous as it might seem, given the fact that, yes, as you said, they are relatively closed indoor environments.
Yeah. Also, does the type of mask you wear matter in these instances when you're on a plane or in enclosed environments?
The type of mask is important. Some masks are definitely better than others, but the fact of wearing a mask seems to be more important than that mask be some certain scientific or technological grade that's very sophisticated. The Japanese, I think, really have the best sort of three-part explanation for how to think about staying safe when you're out and about outside of your house. Number one, closed spaces with poor ventilation, that's dangerous. Number two, crowded places like bars, and number three, close contact settings, especially close range conversations. Those are their three C's: closed spaces, crowded places, close contact settings. If you pay attention to those three C's, you can pretty much count on being safe anywhere.
You know what? Thinking back to what we just talked about that 10-hour flight back in March, I mean, why isn't, though, contact tracing happening more frequently in air travel, aside from the fact that when that happened back in March, we weren't wearing masks?
This is a great and really important question. The U.S. has completely dropped the ball when it comes to contact tracing. There are a lot of countries, especially in Eastern Asia, that have done much better when it comes to contact tracing. We have not set up the infrastructure, either at the state level or the federal level, to do the same. Now, yes, you did, I suppose, on this plane have contact tracing. That's why they could publish the study in the CDC. But we need to be doing a much better job at understanding how people are getting each other sick. You can't really do that without an organized contact tracing apparatus. We haven't built that up expeditiously here in the U.S. And it is one of the reasons why, if you compare our numbers, compare our deaths to other similarly advanced countries, we have had a lot more of both cases and deaths here in the U.S.
That's Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. As always, thank you.
Thank you.